Good morning, Grace. Our passage for today is found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. If you're following along in a pew Bible, this passage can be found on page 811. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Please read with me. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is God's word for us today.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his help. Gracious Heavenly Father, would you feed us with what is needful for us for this day? Would you remind us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you? So would you nourish us? Would you sustain us in all things, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been with us, we've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We currently find ourselves in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. This morning, we'll just be looking at verse 11. Before we do, I want to just give you a little bit of a heads up and a bit of a reminder of where we'll be going in the coming weeks. Next Sunday, as you've heard already today, next Sunday is VBS Sunday. So we're going to take a break from the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And next Sunday during our service, we're going to be looking at the story of Elijah and his showdown with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. That's a really fun passage. I'm really excited, looking forward to that. It ties right in with the theme of the week of VBS this coming week. And then after that, the immediately following Sunday after that, I'm going to begin an 8-week sabbatical. And during that time, the rest of the preaching team is going to continue to lead you through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount for the rest of the summer. I am confident that you will be in good hands. And I'm excited for both the rest of the teaching team and for you for that. So that's where we're headed, but this morning, once again, we're just looking at one verse in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. In our day, bread has gotten a bit of a bad rap. I mean, many people that you talk to today, they'll give you the impression that avoiding bread is the key to finding health. And whether you're going gluten-free or whether it's just low carb, either way, bread has become the bad guy. And maybe that's why we sometimes have such a hard time when it comes to this simple request in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Like, really? Just bread? Like, especially after all that we've seen so far in this, like after praying for our Father's great name to be hallowed in all the earth, after praying for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, and then bread? Like a simple, chewy, glutinous, starchy substance? I think that contrast has compelled many to try to over-spiritualize this simple request. It's not hard to do. I mean, in those days, there was an expectation that the Messiah would come, and when the Messiah would come, he would once again feed his people with this mysterious special bread from heaven. Even in the New Testament itself, Jesus himself is called the bread of life. All that has led some to suggest that this prayer for daily bread, this is actually a prayer for spiritual sustenance. It's a prayer even for the long-awaited Messiah to come and to establish the kingdom and to feed us with this special bread. Jesus himself, like I said, is the bread of heaven. And while all that is true, all that is true, and indeed, Jesus is the bread of life, and all who feed on him by believing in him will have spiritual life. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, I think we might be overthinking it. Sometimes bread is just bread. And not even necessarily like flour and water and yeast that you bake together to be that beautiful, starchy deliciousness that even if you are doing gluten-free and low-carb, you still sometimes cheat and eat it anyway because it's so good. Doesn't even need to necessarily refer to literal bread, but bread as representative of this idea of the most simple, basic things that you and I need for everyday life. And therein, I think, lies the beauty and the power of this simple prayer. When we pray, we come to our Heavenly Father to ask him for our daily needs. That's what this simple request is all about. And the risk here, the risk of overthinking this, the risk of even over-spiritualizing this, is that we miss out on the unique goodness of this simple request for our Father to take care of us. And in fact, if we miss that, we might miss what this shows us about God. There's at least three things that I think we need to see that this shows us about not just God, but prayer this morning. And I want to begin with what it shows us about God, because when we come to our Heavenly Father to ask him for our daily needs, when we do that, first and foremost, it means something about him, namely that our Father in heaven cares about our needs here on earth. Our Father in heaven cares about our needs here on earth. And listen, I think it's especially important that we see this, especially after the first three petitions of this prayer, especially after what we've seen the last few weeks in a row, the first half of this prayer. All those petitions that we started with, all of them were primarily about God and his agenda. There was the great hallowing of his great name, this prayer that says, God, make much of your name in this world. There was a prayer for God's kingdom to come in all of its finality, in all of its fullness. There was this prayer that we would submit to God's will, that God's will would be submitted to by all peoples everywhere. All of those things took priority in the prayer, and all of those things took priority even over our immediate felt and real needs. And if you only look at the first half of this prayer, you can almost begin to get the idea that praying for our most basic needs is not something that God actually wants us to do. Until you get here. Which is why it's so powerful when suddenly you get to verse 11, there's this incredible shift that takes place. We go from your name, your kingdom, your will, and suddenly we get, give us. Give us this day our daily bread. The emphasis now is not on expressing our own care for our Heavenly Father's agenda, but on his agenda to care for our own personal needs. And listen, just the fact that God, our Father in heaven, would send his son and he would say to him, teach them how to pray to me. And when the Son comes to us to teach us how to pray to our Father, he says, pray like this. Pray for daily bread. That right there says something about our Father. It says that he cares. He cares about our earthly needs. In fact, if you remember, Jesus told us back in verse 8, he told us then that we don't need, when we pray, we don't need to use a ton of words. Because when we pray, it's not that we're coming to God to let him know what we need. In fact, he already knows what we need. And the only reason that statement can mean anything to you and me, like anything in actual real life, the only reason that statement can mean anything is if God not only just knows what we need, but implicitly in that there's a statement that he knows and cares about what we need. And cares about giving us what we need. Like in some ways, I think just like generally speaking, you and I, every one of us, we can look around and we see God's care for us. It is evident everywhere, even though we're very often tempted to miss it. I mean, even just think about our like literal environment. Our entire environment that we live in is perfectly suited in order to sustain our physical lives. Look, you know probably as well as I do, I'm no scientist. If you want to talk to someone, talk to our brother Dave Jansen about all the unique particularities of our exact universe and how if any number of things were off by just the tiniest fraction of a percentage, everything would come undone. Life as we know it would be impossible. I mean, every single day that you and I wake up and we continue to live is evidence of God's care. The breath in our lungs and everything else that he has orchestrated in our physical environment, all so that our life can be sustained. Even the water that he sends forth, which he's been sending forth quite a bit of in our area as of late. The water he sends forth on the earth to cause grain to grow so that it can be harvested and milled and ground into flour and eventually baked into bread so that you and I can live. And even that is evidence of his being like a father to us. Reminds me one of my favorite verses and really in all of the scriptures, but even in the Psalms. Psalm 103, it speaks of God's fatherly care over us, even in his understanding how we are designed and how we are put together. Psalm 103, verse 13 or 14 says this, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He knows us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. In other words, he knows how we are put together. He knows it intricately because he is the one who indeed put us together. He knows our frailty. He knows our inherent need, our dependence. He knows it all. He designed it and he likes it. He likes the fact that we are that way, and like a compassionate father, he doesn't begrudge our weakness. He doesn't begrudge our neediness. It is his desire to care for us in all of that. He wants us to embrace it. And so we should, primarily through prayer. Because that's true, because God cares for us, that means that there's nothing too small that we shouldn't ask our Father for. Because prayer is about our Father in heaven caring for our needs on earth. So when we pray, we come to him to ask for our daily needs. And when we do that, there is nothing too small that we can't come to him for. That's the essence of this petition. It's a prayer for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now listen, this point will be brief, but I think it's an important one to make. I'm guessing that all of us, every single one of us here probably in some way, and probably in different ways, but we all in some ways probably struggle to pray. I'm just guessing that. I think that's a fair guess to make with this many people in the room. All of us probably struggle and wrestle with our prayer lives in some way. And I think there's probably no part of our praying difficulties that the Lord's Prayer does not also address in some way, whether it's just prayerlessness. I mean, Jesus is actually motivating us even to pray. So if you struggle with prayerlessness, Jesus is motivating us to pray by prioritizing our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father, by reminding us that he is he is our Heavenly Father. For all of those who have come to know him through faith in Christ Jesus, God has adopted us into his family. We can come to him like a father, like an actual, real father who cares for us and all of our needs, and that should motivate us even in our prayerlessness. But even for those of us who do pray, sometimes we struggle to view prayer as treating God like some kind of a cosmic genie. And prayer is where we rub the lamp and God comes out to ask us what we need, to grant us our three greatest wishes, if you will. Once again, Jesus helps us with that. He even corrects us in that by giving us this priority of praying first and foremost that our Father would make much of his name, not ours, that he would bring about his kingdom, not ours, that his will, not ours, would be done. But some of us struggle in prayer in a different way, especially those of us who gravitate towards the first half of this prayer, who gravitate towards the hallowing of God's great name and the coming of his kingdom and the doing of his will, especially if you're one with whom or for whom all of that resonates. Many of us can neglect to pray even for the little things, the simplest, the smallest little things that we need for life every day. It's almost like sometimes we wrongly begin to believe that it is somehow unspiritual to pray for the simple physical necessities of life. Friends, I think it's time that we disavow ourselves of that silly notion that praying for there to be bread on our table today or breakfast cereal in our pantry tomorrow is somehow less spiritual or less desirable from God our Father himself. Friends, that is, again, part of the great beauty of this prayer is that it covers the vast grandness of God's great design and plan for all of humanity, and it covers the basic nutrients that you and I need on a daily basis. A friend of mine used to regularly say, you know, as human beings, we need to both ponder the universe. We need to look up at the stars and just ponder the significance of the universe, and we need to brush our teeth before we go to bed at night. Both of those things are just part of what it means to be human in this world, and they actually go together. They're not opposed, and the same is true of our prayer lives. Don't neglect the whatever the equivalent of brushing your teeth is in your prayer. Lord, give me the money I need for gas in my gas tank so I can get to work tomorrow. Lord, please provide what we need so that there's food on the table. Lord, you know our need. You know that by the end of the week, somehow, we've got to get diapers. Lord, would you kindly provide? Listen, I think this is one of those areas where we can probably learn a little bit from our kids. Maybe not the ones who are in diapers, if you really need those diapers, but when your kids get a little bit older and they begin praying themselves, I think they actually get this better than we do. I had an opportunity this past week to learn a little bit from my kids about praying. We were in the car driving home from a baseball game out in the county, out in Union Grove. I say that for a reason, because of what we encountered. We were driving home on one of those small county roads, just, you know, two lanes, and we were approaching this bridge. I think it was like an old, probably now out of use, like train bridge over this little two-lane road. And as we were approaching this bridge, there was a tractor, like a big tractor, coming towards us. And as it was coming, I was kind of starting to wonder, like, wait a minute, are we going to fit through this little underpass at the same time as this tractor? So I started to kind of hit the brakes a little bit more, and then I started wondering, wait a minute, is the tractor going to fit? And as soon as I thought that, bang, this tractor just smashed into the bridge overhead, and there was glass just shattered all over the roadway. There was pieces of what looked like pieces of bridge on the tractor, pieces of tractor on the bridge. So I pulled over and I don't know what I was like. I hopped out of the car. I don't know what I was going to do. I ran over just to inquire if the driver was okay. He was definitely physically okay. He was more than a little frustrated. And I cannot say that I can blame him. Especially late in the day. It was probably his last run, his last pass. He was probably getting ready to shut it down for the night. I offered what little assistance I could, maybe to help call somebody. He didn't really need much, so I went back to the car and got in and drove away, and our kids began to rummage through their pockets and see if they had any small change that perhaps we could offer to help the guy, and they wanted to do something. I said, I don't think, you know, your $2.25 is going to make it very far in this situation. I said, but here's one thing we can do. We can pray. Does one of you want to pray? And so one of our kids volunteered to pray, and it was a beautiful prayer. They prayed that God would use this situation in this man's life. They prayed that if he doesn't go to church, that somehow he would use the situation to bring him to a church, that he would use the situation that for this man to actually come to a saving knowledge of Christ through this. So I was like, I'm just driving, like, listening to this. This is a wonderful prayer. And then they prayed, Lord, would you give him the money that he needs to fix his tractor so that he can continue to be a farmer? And as that prayer came to a close, I was just struck with how much it sounds like the Lord's Prayer. Just give this guy the money he needs to fix this thing so he can go on providing for himself and his family. And then that led to a fascinating conversation about insurance. And I explained the intricacies of how insurance works and filing an insurance claim and paying a deductible and how rates go up. And there were lots of questions that ensued. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I say that not to negate what they prayed. The reality of insurance does not negate the significance of the prayer. Just because the need is met by a more intricate system than God just miraculously appearing and making the money show up, just because it is met by this intricate need of all of these people praying into or paying into an insurance and paying that out, that doesn't negate the need and the rightness and the goodness to just pray, Lord, would you simply provide what is needed for this guy to go on with his life and doing what he needs to do so he can plow his fields, so that he can have bread to eat, and maybe even so that you and I can have bread to eat too. And the reason you and I should ask, even for the smallest thing, isn't just because our Father cares. There's something else that's happening in all this. And I think it might actually be the biggest thing that is actually happening in all this. When we pray, when we come to our Heavenly Father to ask for our daily needs, it's not even ultimately because if we don't ask, we might not get them. That might be part of it. But the biggest part is this. Daily prayer is about daily dependence. Daily prayer is about daily dependence, coming to our Heavenly Father to ask for our daily needs, and doing that every day is about our exercising, our purposefully, intentionally exercising our daily dependence on Him for all things. I don't know if you noticed this, but looking at the Lord's Prayer, you could actually ask the question, how often at least should one pray? You could answer that question from this prayer by saying, at least every day. Give us this day our daily prayer. Now look, I know that some of you right now, you might be noticing there's like a little footnote in your Bible, you're glancing down to the bottom of the page and it says, or maybe what this is actually saying is, give us this day our bread for tomorrow. That's simply because that word for daily is a very unique word. It's only used two times in the entire New Testament. And the other time is the other time the Lord's Prayer comes up in Luke's Gospel. And so both times it's translated daily bread. There's all this question of what it actually means by daily. And here's the thing. I don't ultimately think it matters that much. Because the prayer still says, give us this day, whether it's our daily bread or bread for tomorrow, whether you wake up and say, give us today our bread for today, or whether before you go to bed you say, give us this day our bread for tomorrow, it's either way, it's a prayer for us to have what we need for any given day. In fact, whatever exactly that word for daily was intended to signify, I think the primary thing that would have been running through their minds when they heard that prayer was that great story from the Old Testament of how God fed his wandering people in the wilderness with miraculous bread from heaven called manna. I'm like, I don't know why, but this has actually always been one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Even from when, like, the time I was a kid, I loved this story. I was always drawn to this story. I used to love imagining what it would be like to wake up in the morning and to come outside your tent and to find this stuff on the ground, this stuff that no one had ever seen before, that, like dew on the ground, that you could gather it up and you can make bread from it. I used to always imagine and wonder what it tastes like. And I know there's a description, but I mean, I wanted to know what it really tasted like. But here's the thing. God feeding his people this miraculous bread while they wandered through the wilderness, it wasn't just some kind of cool party trick that God did to show his people that he could do cool things like this. No, the whole manna story, the whole story about this bread, the substance appearing on the ground miraculously every morning so they could make bread. And it was just enough for the day. If they ever tried to keep some extra for the next day, it would spoil. They had to trust God every single day for his daily provision of this bread. But the whole point of the story is it comes right after they had witnessed the greatest saving and redemptive act that anyone had ever seen up to that point in all of redemptive history. Just about a month prior to that manna being on the ground, they witnessed God rescuing them from slavery in Egypt. They saw God and bring about all those plagues. They saw God actually stop the sun from shining for 3 days. They saw the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the hail. They saw God rip apart the sea and lead them through on dry land in order to rescue his own people, whom he promised to bring into the land that he promised to give them. And within a few short weeks, the food ran out. And just like that, they started grumbling and complaining. Just like that, they said, God, you saved us through all those signs and wonders only to bring us out here to let us die in the desert. Really? After all that you saw, after all that God promised he would do, and then he did it, and now you think he's just going to let you die on the way? Well, friends, how much more so for us as we can look back on the greatest, not just the greatest act of salvation, not just the greatest act of redemptive history up to our point, but the greatest one that would ever be done in all of redemptive history, the focal point, the climax, the apex, the centerpiece of God's entire plan when he sent his son from heaven to earth, not only to live a perfect life, but also to die in our place, in order to secure for us everything that we would need for salvation, in order to purchase us, in order to bring about the forgiveness of our sins, in order to adopt us and to bring us into the family of his very Father. He accomplished all of that at great cost to himself on the cross. God raised him from the dead as proof that he accepted all of that, and that one day we actually will have full, final resurrection life in him. And yet, even though we can see all that, suddenly we find ourselves in situations where we think, yeah, but God's going to let us wither up and just die and flounder on the way. It's absurd. If God would move heaven and earth to give his only son, who willingly laid down his life for you, don't you think he can meet our daily needs? Friends, that's the whole point. Even after that manna incident, Moses looked back and he explained what it meant. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, he, as God, he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, in order that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And listen, don't hear that and think I'm taking this in a completely different direction. Man does not live by bread alone. Yes, true, full stop. But that doesn't mean that man can live without bread. And the whole point of them experiencing the hunger was so that they could learn to depend on God and all that God said he would do for them, which also meant caring for all of their physical needs. And so it's not as if all of a sudden we come to the Lord's Prayer and there's this spiritual interpretation. Oh, so in the end, the prayer for the daily bread is actually just for spiritual things and trusting in God's word and all of that. No, the point is, the spiritual point is not that the bread stands for some spiritual bread. The spiritual point is what it means for us to actually have the kind of life that God wants us to have is that we will depend on him for everything, every single day, including everything that we need for life. But here's the thing. God used hunger to teach them that lesson. What about us? Now, we need to learn a similar lesson, but the reality is, friends, I think that one might be much harder to learn when we are never truly wanting like they were. Now, don't hear me wrong. I know that right now there are things, different things, for every one of us that we feel like we need. And even when I say feel like we need, I'm not trying to suggest that, well, you only feel like it, you don't really need it. Maybe you really do. And nothing I'm saying right now is intended to undercut anything I've already said. Whatever it is that you feel like you need, no matter how small, you take that to your Father in heaven who cares, and you ask him for it. Full stop. And at the same time, we also just need to acknowledge that we live in a time, we live in a place where we don't really feel need like they did back then. I realize that there are those who are below the poverty line in the world around us. I realize that there are those who are poor. But listen, friends, even historically speaking, even our poor are fed. I can remember a time, this is many years ago now, before I was married, me and one of my roommates, we decided on a whim one night we were going to make a bunch of bagged lunches and we were going to drive down downtown Washington, D.C. This is when we lived in the D.C. area. We went down there at like midnight. We were going to walk around. We were going to find homeless people sleeping on the streets and we were going to give them a meal and sit and talk with them. I can tell you this. We ended up eating most of those lunches or most of those meals. And not because they weren't there, but again and again, we would go out and we'd find them. We'd say, hey, you know, good evening. We'd introduce ourselves, say, hey, we got some food here. Would you like to eat? And they would say, oh, well, what do you got? Oh, well, in this bag, we have this kind of sandwich and these kind of chips and cookies, this kind. And they would go, yeah, I'm good. Which, you know what? That's good. That's a good thing that even the poorest among us can find ways to be fed. And I'm guessing most of us we'll never truly experience what it's like even to be, most of us here in this room right now, many of us anyway, will not know what it's like to feel that exact same experience. And so for many of us, the point of our praying for our daily bread is not even necessarily that if we don't ask, we won't have it. I'm well aware of what James says in his letter. You ask because you do not have because you do not ask. And that is certainly the case with some things in our lives that we want that we do not have. It might be the case that we do not have them because we do not ask God. But it's also the case that many of us have much even that we did not ask for. You tracking with me? Sometimes we do not have because we do not ask, but many times in our cases, we have even that which for we did not ask. And honestly, I'm not sure which is worse. It's probably the latter. So for you and I, living in the exact time and place and situation in which we live, praying, God, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, it means asking for his daily provision, but it also means, God, even though it is so hard for me to imagine what it is actually like for me to truly go without the most basic things I need for life, even though it's so hard for me to imagine, I don't have to walk out of my house, grow food, harvest it, and eat. And if there's a bad crop, I might go hungry. Because there's this entire system of things, agricultural realities, legislative realities, economic realities, all of these systems that are in place that make it so that there's always bread on the shelf in the store and therefore always bread in the pantry at home, help me to see that despite all that, it is still ultimately, only, always, ever, you who is sustaining everything that I need. There's actually a prayer that is a lot like this in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. I think it fits well not only for our day, but also for the Lord's Prayer. It says this in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Which reminds us that even coming to God and asking Him, asking our Heavenly Father to meet our daily needs, even that is a way that His great name will be hallowed in our lives and even to the ends of the earth. And so for us, sometimes we need not even so much to ask for the things that we need each day, but for the eyes to see how everything we have each and every day ultimately comes from Him. I'll say this just by way of conclusion. Even as we pray for our Father in heaven to meet all of those needs, friends, there is a day coming for all who have put their faith and trust in Christ, for all who have received the bread of life by believing in His name. There is a day coming when none of us will ever have to wonder where our daily bread will come from. Friends, there is a day coming when Christ, the King and the bringer of the kingdom, the one who hallows God's name perfectly, He will come and He will actually feed us from His very hand, and He will feed us the bread of the world to come. And we will eat and be satisfied like we never have before. And until that day comes, we can trust Him to feed us with all that is needful for us, even as we pray for Him to do so. I would invite all of you to spend some time, even now in these moments of response, silently in prayer, praying, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Father, for those in this room who might not know you, let that prayer be answered ultimately first and foremost by your bringing them to a knowledge of you through Christ. And in that knowing that we will always have a Father in heaven who meets all of our needs. And for all of us who know you, would you remind us that we can cast all our cares on you because you are faithful. Amen.